Winsome Women started out as a Bible study. And then they decided to have a luncheon with a speaker. And so they had that at a local restaurant. I think it was Stafford's Bayview Inn. And then that was successful. So they moved to Boyne Mountain. And they did an overnight retreat there with more speakers and more musicians. And that worked out really nice. And then our leader had a vision to go up to the Grand Hotel. So we moved up there, we did one retreat, and we turned away so many people that we did a back-to-back two retreats the next season, and we were still turning away so many people. So then we did a third back-to-back in the spring and ended up doing a third back-to-back in the fall also. So we were ministering to almost 6,000 ladies a year. Then we had COVID, and then they sold the Grand Hotel. So we tried to do our retreats in Bay Harbor, and the ladies wanted to go back to Grand Hotel. So we were at, I don't know how long we were at Bay Harbor, not too long. So we decided to go back to the Grand. And so that's what we're doing right now. We started out with one retreat in the fall, then we moved to two retreats in the fall. And then last month, we did our first retreat in the spring since we've been back. So that is a little history on my position in the committee is the prayer room. I set up the prayer room and get the chaplain and volunteers, and then I pray with the ladies. So every retreat that we have, every season, we have a theme. And in 2015, I started being the MC. And so I welcome the ladies, and I introduce everyone and talk to the attendees. And then I would introduce the theme. So this morning, I'm going to do the introduction to the theme for this past spring retreat. Our theme is He Restores My Soul, taken from Psalm 23. What is a soul? Why does our souls need to be restored? The Bible says that God created us in His image with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Our body is our connection to this physical world. Our soul is our personality, our mind, our thoughts, our intellect, our will, our emotions. And our spirit is our God connection. But because of sin and rebellion, we are broken, and only Jesus can fix it. Only God, our Creator, sees the big picture and knows the plans that He has for each one of us. He knows us. The deep places where memories still sting, words still echo, and regrets still whisper. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest." His rest restores us. He gives us His eternal life. He renews our minds with His word. He steadies our emotions, He heals our wounds, and He rebuilds trust again. But He does it in fragments, like small pieces of a big puzzle. So we trust Him to restore us piece by piece until we are whole. Just like the fable of the old woodcutter who knew how to process life in fragments. He lived in a tiny village, and although he was poor, he was envied by all. Even the king, because he owned this beautiful white horse, even the king coveted his treasure. People offered him fabulous prices for it, but the old man refused. "This is not a horse to me. How can I sell a friend?" One morning, he found the horse was not in the stable. All the village came to see him. "You fool, We told you that someone would steal your horse. Don't speak too quickly, the old man said. Say only that the horse is not in the stable. That's all we know, that the stable is empty and the horse is gone. The rest, I don't know. I can't say. All we can see is a fragment. The villagers laughed. They thought he was a fool not to have sold the horse and lived off the money. Instead, he's just an old man who's still cutting wood and selling it. After 15 days, the horse returned. He hadn't been stolen. He had run away into the forest. And not only had he returned, but he brought a dozen wild horses with him. Once again, the villagers gathered around and said, "Oh man, you were right and we were wrong. What we thought was a curse was a blessing. Please forgive us," the man said. "Once again, you've gone too far. Only say that a dozen horses returned with him. But unless you know the whole story, how can you judge? You can only see a fragment. If you only read one page of a book, can you judge the whole book? No one knows. I am content with what I do know, not with what I don't know." "Maybe he's right," they said, but deep down they knew he was wrong. They knew it was a blessing. 12 wild horses had returned with one horse. With a little work, the animals could be broken and trained and sold for much money. The woodcutter had a son who began to break the horses. After a few days, he fell from one of the horses and he broke both legs. Again, the villagers cast their judgment. "You were right. The dozen horses were not a blessing, but a curse. Your only son has broken his legs, and now in your old age, you have no one to help you. Now you are poorer than ever." The old man said, "You people are obsessed with judging. Only say that my son broke his legs. Life comes in fragments." A few weeks later, the country engaged in war. All the young men of the villages were required to join the army. Only the son of the woodcutter was excluded because he was injured. The enemy was strong, and they knew they would never see their sons again. "You were right," they wept. "Your son's accident was a blessing. His legs may be broken, but at least he's with you. Our sons are gone forever." It's impossible to talk to you when you always draw conclusions. "No one knows," says the old man. "Say only that your sons had to go to war and mine did not." The woodcutter was right. We only see in fragments. It's only a page out of a grand book. We must be slow about drawing conclusions, especially on the circumstances of life. Only God knows. God has a plan for each one of our lives, and we only see it in fragments. May we follow the old woodcutter's wisdom to walk one day at a time as God restores our soul. A man named Horatio Spafford exhibited that wisdom with a faith that never wavered. He had solid confidence in his Savior that no matter what each day brought, the fragments, that God loved him. He was sovereign and good, and he would work all things out for his good. Horatio survived the Chicago fire of 1871, but he lost his entire fortune, which was devastating to him. 3 years later, Horatio's wife and his four daughters were on a transatlantic voyage, and they were shipwrecked. He received a note from his wife, saved, alone. He lost all four of his daughters. In his grief, he wrote that cherished him, "It is well with my soul." And the words reflect his trust and his hope in God, even in the depths of despair. He wrote, "Whatever my lot, whatever, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. This song has been an inspiration to many struggling souls. Sorry, I've got allergies. Jesus promised in Proverbs 23, as our good shepherd, we shall not want. We shall lie down in green pastures, and he will lead us beside still waters, not roaring waves, but still waters, and he will restore our soul. So that is my introduction to Winsome Women. And the other, I think that's all I have. Thank you. I have some water up here. The other ministry that I was involved with was called Christian Women's Club. And it was an extension of Stonecroft Ministries out of Missouri. And its mission was they held a monthly meeting luncheon, which was a luncheon, outside of a church setting. They shared the gospel through personal stories with speakers sharing their testimonies at the luncheon. And it was typically held in a country club or a local restaurant. And it was once a month, and it was worldwide. I remember when I went to New Zealand and several countries in Europe, they were holding Christian Women's Club there. So it was in 60 countries. I shared my testimony most in Michigan, but some in Canada and some in Indiana. Today I'm going to give you my testimony. I've made a condensed version of it because of time. And so the theme for my testimony that I gave at these luncheons was called The Bridges of Life. Let me get right here. As I talk about the bridges in my life, I go back to when I was very young, when I first heard about bridges, because they were going to build one in our hometown. It brought lots of excitement and many new people to our little town. My father, who had just left the Air Force as a bomber pilot and instructor, he helped to build this bridge. He was a crane operator. And he remained there until his retirement. So this bridge had a great impact on my life. I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and getting to the Lower Peninsula before the bridge was a big deal. It took many hours, I mean hours, waiting in line. People would just park their cars in line and open the doors, and everybody would visit. It was many hours. And then the cars had to be loaded, which took a lot of time. And finally, the adventure of crossing that 5 miles on the boat. Then some brilliant minds built that spectacular Mackinac Bridge to carry us over that unpredictable gap of water. And now we just ride across it. We just take it for granted that it will get us safely to the other side. When I think of my life, I tried to build some bridges of my own that I hoped would get me to a life filled with peace and contentment. And then I discovered the only bridge that would ever, never be unsafe, never fail me. And I would like to tell you how that has changed my life. I grew up in a large family of 9 children. I was the second child. I had wonderful parents. They worked hard. They loved us, and they loved each other, and they loved God. After high school, I went on to college, but a couple years later, my college career was seriously interrupted by a handsome man in the youth chorus guard. Mick was also from a large family of 8. When we were together, life just seemed complete. I never had to decide whether Mick was the one. I just knew it. So I built my first bridge with Mick and called it marriage. Soon we had our first child named Mark. I absolutely loved being a mom, but I was not prepared for the next few months when Mark became chronically ill. He was only 3 months old when we were told that he would need surgery by the time he was 2 in order to repair 2 holes in his heart. In the meantime, medication was stabilizing his condition, so I built a fragile bridge of hope that our son would survive. At 5 months old, Mark had a second heart catheterization, and the report was very good. He was gaining weight, and he had become stronger. And he was always such a happy little guy through all this. And because he was doing so well, we decided to take a trip to visit Mick's family in Ohio. The next morning, we were on our way to have breakfast with Mick's family, with his parents. We were almost there when Mick made the remark, "Look at that car," pointing to a car that was completely out of control. It looked as if it was gaining control as it came near us. And then all I remember was seeing that car, hearing the crash, and we had hit head on. Mick was the only one conscious, so he got us out of the car. And as he did, I came too, and then Mick revived Mark with all his Coast Guard skills. We were taken by ambulance to the local hospital. And after an examination, Mark was taken to a children's hospital nearby. 3 hours later, we heard those dreadful words that our son had died. It was so final. The only way to describe the moments, those hours, and those days that followed was that it was just final. It wasn't going to change. Our son was gone, and somehow we had to let go. Life seemed so empty and so unfair, and there just wasn't any instructions how to handle this. Now what? Mick was 24, I was 22. And we were so lonely and so lost. I built my next bridge, a bridge of confusion. This took me to the lowest point of my life, searching for answers. I wanted to know where Mark was, and I wanted to know the God that he was with, if there was a God. Even though I was raised in a God-fearing home, and I had been very religious all my life, I really didn't know much about God himself. I had so many questions, and there didn't seem to be any answers. No one seemed to know anything about spiritual things. 1 week after the accident, Mick's military duty in the Coast Guard was over, and we moved to Pennsylvania to start new employment. I began to work for 3 doctors in Pittsburgh as a medical assistant. This move took us away from our family. We had to grieve alone. Back then, you never heard about support groups or the steps to the grieving process. We just went through it the best we knew how, one day at a time. Soon our marriage was in trouble. We couldn't make each other happy when we were both so miserable inside. Remember the old nursery rhyme, "London bridges falling down"? Well, that's how I felt. All the bridges that I had been building come falling down. I developed fears to many things. Especially, I feared if we had other children, would they be healthy? Would they be taken? I feared death, but life seemed so meaningless and uncertain. In my confusion, who God was and where God was, I just had one prayer. God, if you're real, show yourself to me, because I don't know where you're at. I don't even know if you exist. There was a spiritual gap between God and me, and I needed a spiritual bridge. But how? Where? I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. A popular song at that time was Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And that perfectly described what I needed. I needed a bridge over all my troubles. I was so weary. I was at a point in my life of not knowing if there was anything that was real, if there was any truth. How could a person be sure of absolute truth? I continued to struggle for the next couple years with all these questions. Then, our daughter Heather was born, and she was a bridge of joy back into our lives. We became a family again. I became a mom again, and I loved it. But there was still an emptiness deep inside me. I still wanted to know God personally, and I didn't know how. I continued with my hope that God would find me, and God was working, but I didn't see it yet. We bought a house next to a little church in Pittsburgh, and the pastor of the church started riding motorcycles with the guys that met next door. And Mick was one of them. Mick's always had a motorcycle. He met Mick and invited him to the church. So we went. But I had mixed emotions. I was very skeptical. But at the same time, I was hearing something that seemed to have some direction, some authority to it. I was hearing what the Bible had to say, not just man's thoughts and opinions. So I began to listen. One day, the pastor's wife invited me to a Christian women's luncheon, just like the ministry I was talking about. But I did not want to go. I felt trapped. If I said yes, if I said no, they would think it was just an excuse. So I said yes, and I went reluctantly with a very bad attitude. I can do that sometime. After the lunch, when the speaker got up to speak, I was really taken back. I knew that lady. I recognized her as a patient in the doctor's office where I had previously worked. She came in frequently. She was always depressed and so miserable. And she was a very difficult person to deal with. She shared about her life and her addiction to drugs. She spoke of how her children raised themselves, her husband left her, and how desperate she had become. She went on to talk about a bridge in her life, how she lost all hope and she went to jump off of it to end her life. But a pastor found her on that bridge. He talked to her about Jesus, God's son, that he loved her and he had a plan for her life. That the Bible says the reason Jesus came to earth to die on a cross was to free her from the bondage to sin. And sin is doing things our way, not God's way. He explained that we're all sinners, that God is holy, and there's a gap between God and man. And that's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus was God's gift to man. He told her that man cannot go into God's presence in his sinful state. That's why Jesus died for her, because he was sinless. He could shed his blood on that cross to cover her sins and make her acceptable to a holy God. But Jesus not only died for her, he was buried, and 3 days later, Jesus conquered death. He rose from the dead, and today he is alive. Those who receive Jesus become God's children. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. The speaker said that she turned her frustration, her desperation, and everything over to Jesus that day and asked him to come into her life. And Jesus became her spiritual bridge over troubled waters. She talked of how her life had changed, the gratefulness of being forgiven, the lasting hope that she had of spending eternity in heaven. And she just was amazing. I just sat and I looked at her. And I just couldn't believe the transformation that I could see in her from how I knew her back in the doctor's office. She was smiling, peaceful, and she radiated something that I wanted. I remember thinking, if God can do that for her, I know he can help me. I wanted the emptiness to go. I wanted a purpose in my life. And I wanted to know that I would see Mark again. And I couldn't do it. I felt so helpless. At the conclusion of her talk, she asked if anyone listening would like to pray with her, that they also could invite Jesus into their life. And I prayed with her that day. I lost my bad attitude, and I humbled myself, and I prayed with her that day. I asked Jesus to forgive my sins, to come into my heart, and to take over my life, and I have not been the same since. The moment that I realized that I was God's child because I had received his son, my son was no longer dead to me. I knew I would see Mark again. The fear of death went away, and the separation between Mark and myself and God just went away. I felt so connected to Mark through Jesus. It was his birthday Friday, and I have a hotline to my son. It's like, Lord, would you tell him I said happy birthday? And I mean, what a gift a mom could have. And it's just like the bridge that connected the upper and the lower peninsula of Michigan. Jesus became my spiritual bridge. I felt so alive, and the emptiness was gone. And knowing I would see Mark again gave me such happiness and peace. Since that time, Mick has also invited Christ into his life. And we've had two more sons, Matthew and Jacob, and another daughter, Jessica, and 10 grandchildren. Each one is a gift. And I thank God constantly for my family. In heaven and on earth. That was many years ago that I asked Christ to come into my life. But today I can tell you that God has been so faithful. And yes, I have found that he is very real and that his word is absolute truth that we can trust. It's something that we can be sure of. And he's always there to give me help when I need it, and I do. I think we all attempt to build our own little bridges to get us through the good times and the bad times of life. I still experience disappointments and trials and have gone through more deaths of loved ones, but now I'm on the bridge that God built. It guarantees me safe delivery into heaven, and it gives me God's strength to deal with the present here on earth. When my strength is drained, he's always there with his. I'm told there's a cemetery in Indiana that has an old tombstone bearing this epitaph. Pause, stranger, when you pass me by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me. Well, an unknown passerby read those words, and underneath he scratched his reply. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. Do you know which way you're going? Are you going through some troubled waters? Is there a gap between you and God? Do you need that spiritual bridge? Only Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to die for you, and only Jesus has ever conquered death. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can raise us up from being dead in our sin and give us eternal life with God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The cost of the Mackinac Bridge was $100 million. The cost of bridging the gulf between God and man was far greater. It was priceless. The Bible says, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, salvation is found in no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved." The good news is, for those who are seeking God, they find that the gulf has already been bridged by God. We don't have to build it. We just need to walk it. I would never have willingly chosen to give up my son for anyone, for any reason. It wouldn't have been in me as a mom to do that. But God did. He chose to sacrifice his son for you and for me. The Bible says that God so loved the world, we sang that today, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we sang John 3:16. Remember the speaker that introduced me to Jesus? Well, I'm going to pray the same words that she prayed many years ago that changed my life. And I invite you to do the same if you have never asked Christ into your life, and walk the bridge that God built through his son Jesus. As I express these words out loud, you can pray them right where you're seated, quietly. It's just simply you understanding that you are separated from God and you want to ask Jesus to come into your life, receive his gift of forgiveness and life eternal in heaven forever. Shall we bow our heads? Dear Lord, I do believe that you are the Son of God and you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. Please come into my life, forgive my sin, and make me a member of your family. I now turn from going my own way. I want you to be the center of my life. Thank you for your gift of eternal life and for your Holy Spirit who has come to live in me. In Jesus' name. Thank you.